Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 3rd of March. Coming up, 5 years on from the death of Sarah Everard, do women in Kent feel safe?
Yes. I don't like coming out at night.
No.
On my own.
No.
Concerns are raised about funding for SEN children in Kent.
Unfortunately, the government's funding announcement in their white paper is just a drop in the ocean.
And why a Kent football club feels like it's been left in limbo.
We've got 30 teams, most of them are youth teams, 8 girls teams, and as a club, we've got nowhere to train at all.
But first up on today's episode, a Kent dad who lives in Abu Dhabi has told the podcast about the moment he was alerted to potential missile strikes. Justin Cook received a message on his phone shortly before seeing puffs of smoke in the sky as the missiles were intercepted on Saturday. The retaliatory strikes followed an attack by American and Israeli forces on Iran, which killed the country's leader. Justin lives in the UAE with his wife and 2 sons.
In all honesty, we had no expectation that the UAE, which is a very safe, Abu Dhabi, which is an incredibly safe place in the world, was ever going to be under attack. It plays a huge role in being effectively a kind of a neutral, country.
Yeah.
It's a country made up of people from hundreds of nationalities around the world. And for the UAE to be attacked, was, as you said, a real shock. But equally, what we sort of subsequently found out is that the UAE has been prepared and planned for this for many, many years. And, what we saw happen was the government just taking control and basically dealing with, a situation which, in other instances, would have been really alarming, really concerning, in a way which made us feel safe.
So the messages that you got were kind of more reassuring than anything else, that they knew what they were doing. You were given very clear messages as to what you had to do.
Absolutely. We were basically kind of told that they knew exactly what was going on, and that they trained, for such a situation, obviously hoping for the best, but planning for the worst, I suppose, in a sense. And their systems kicked in and they dealt with it, pretty impeccably, if I'm honest, God willing, that continues should things, continue, in this region.
And you mentioned that it's been kind of a bit back to normal today. I mean, are people going to work or are they staying at home, or what's the situation today as we speak?
I think it's a mixture. I mean, I think that a lot of bosses have been really flexible. They want to sort of put, the kind of the duty of care of their employees first. So many organizations have been publishing stuff on social media about, you can work from home. I think there's a general kind of, this is a very an evolving, situation, but, Wednesday has been sort of, communicated as being, a time to return to the office. At the same time, all the way through this activity, we were, that life carried on, obviously people were being cautious, but, still going out for a coffee, going for a walk along the beach, ordering, food delivery services, going to the supermarket. And today, specifically, obviously it's Monday now. The kids are homeschooling. It's like back to COVID days in a way. So they're working or not working, in my case, of my children, from home. And we've also been sent advice on how to communicate, what's happening to our in the situation, to talk to our kids as well, which has been really helpful when you've got a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old here, who, as you said, are much more, I suppose, in a sense, sort of, surprised than I was from what's happened.
And of course, they can see a lot of things on social media, can't they, Justin? So I guess it's incredibly important that you give them the correct information and they don't pick up, as you said, fake news or, things that are going to concern them even more.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's part of the advice. I mean, as hard as that is to do as a parent, as anyone listening to this would know, that's definitely been kind of the guidance. I think they've got lots of kind of communities and groups that they're part of, and I think there's a general sort of view of kind of looking out for each other as well. I think, in a tiny way perhaps as well, there is an element of kind of excitement and going on as well. I heard my son earlier, who's pretty adventurous, about that he was going to go and hunt for missile debris. Not something that I would allow or recommend, but children kind of do react and respond in the strangest ways.
Back here, the government is looking to bring home tens of thousands of stranded Brits. A limited number of flights from the UAE arrived at Heathrow overnight. Meantime, senior government figures confirmed the conflict could impact the UK economy. Darren Jones says there may be an increase at the pumps after the price of oil and gas jumped. Well, I've been speaking to Tudor Price, who's the chief executive of the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce.
As ever, it's the uncertainty, and unfortunately, Donald Trump likes to sort of prey on this uncertainty. It seems to be how he operates his foreign policy. But what that does for businesses, and those specifically here in Kent as well, is it causes uncertainty around supply chain and around energy costs, because of course a lot of oil comes from the Middle East, as the gas as well. And so it's that uncertainty about future prices, and we've already seen a 10% increase when the markets opened this morning. And what that's going to do then to production, manufacturing, component parts and stuff like that. So it causes uncertainty, which means businesses tend not to want to invest. They hold tight to their cash until they know what the future looks like.
And for the retaliatory strikes to target the UAE, probably a country that we wouldn't expect them to target, because it's seen as a very safe and neutral area as well. So I think that was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it?
Yes, I think that immediate retaliation to countries that weren't seemingly involved, but of course we've since learned that there are US air bases and military bases up and down the Gulf there, and so they're obviously being targeted. That uncertainty, that instability, it has an immediate impact on obviously tourism and travel, so we already have organisations, of course, that are involved in that. But I think what it will also do is mean that we have a lot of travellers who are now stuck in transit, because as we've learned, Dubai in particular is a major transport hub, and the only really way to get out of there is to buy a 10-hour drive across the desert.
Yeah, not an ideal time for an awful lot of people. If we go back to when the conflict in Ukraine started, just from my personal experience, I'd ordered a car, and I didn't realise quite how much of my car was actually made in Ukraine, and there was a huge disruption to the whole supply network. Could we face similar things this time around with products that are due to be imported into this country? Could we see supply chains being disrupted because of what's happened?
Sadly, yes. I mean, I don't want to get too negative at this early stage, but because the conflict may come to an end just as quickly as it started. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But I mean, the fact that we've seen an increase in oil prices straight away is an indicator that there are other potential problems to be had coming down the line. The amount of traffic, freight traffic that travels up and down the Gulf there, that there'll be countries now which will be worrying about how they can move their goods from their ports across to the UK and the EU. So, yeah, that supply chain will suddenly start to sort of get log jammed and get compressed, because just on the pure basis that ships have to go the long way around, and that suddenly adds another week to the journey. And of course, that has a knock on effect for assembly lines and production lines. So unfortunately, yes, there is a serious risk to this type of foreign policy intervention.
And presumably that in turn pushes up prices as well.
It does, sadly. Yes, those come with costs. And of course, it's really frustrating right now. The UK economy is recovering, okay, slowly, but it is definitely recovering. We're seeing some positive signs from the businesses we're talking to here in Kent. So this is a really unfortunate and badly timed intervention.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and the head of the Met Police says he's fiercely committed to restoring trust 5 years on from the murder of Sarah Everard. The 33-year-old was abducted in Clapham by then-serving officer Wayne Cousins from Deal. Her body was later found in Woodland near Ashford. Cousins is serving a whole life sentence, and the case sparked a major conversation about women's safety. We've been asking women in Rochester how they feel now.
It's area to area, to
yes,
be honest.
It does vary.
Very much so.
Yes, and the time of day and night.
Yes. I don't like coming out at night.
No.
On my own.
No. I don't even like driving on my own at night, because, and I don't think that's just for Kent, I think it's anywhere and possibly my age, but you feel vulnerable.
You do. There's so much violence, so much knife crime.
You hear
crime.
So much, and I think it just frightens you, whether or not it's true, we don't know. Enough to worry you.
So today I decided to come out and have a stroll around the Kent area, especially in Rochester. And honestly, the people that I've walked across and passed by had always given me a nice smile. You know, I felt safe walking around the neighbourhood, especially at night time too.
I mean, generally during the day, pretty safe, but I guess evenings, especially as a woman, always a little more cautious, I would say. But yeah, generally not too bad. I'm from Maidstone rather than Rochester generally though, so. But yeah, I wouldn't feel too unsafe. The later it gets, the worse, really. But yeah.
Met Commissioner Sir Mark Rowley has described Sarah's death as a profound betrayal and says they've toughened their vetting process for anyone joining the force. A vigil is being held today to mark the anniversary. A young driver who knocked down two street pastors as they crossed a road in Ashford has been spared jail. Alana Smith was turning into Station Road when she hit the volunteers, leaving one with life-changing injuries. The 21-year-old from the Limes in Kings North admitted careless or inconsiderate driving and has been given a suspended sentence along with a two-year driving ban. She'll also have to do 150 hours of unpaid work.
Kent Online reports.
Police have confirmed a mystery man whose body was found in the sea off Kent has now been identified after they released an image of a distinctive tattoo. The man was discovered in the water near St Mildred's Bay in May last year. Following the appeal, an officer in Margate reviewed a missing persons list and the man's family have now been informed. A Birchington man is facing prison after admitting attempted robbery of a shopping centre bank while armed with a vape. Gary Fishlock targeted an HSBC branch at Westwood Cross in Broadstairs in January. Armed police responded and he was arrested at the scene. The 64-year-old from Shottendane Road pleaded guilty and will remain in custody until he's sentenced next month. The Canterbury MP has raised concerns in the Commons about funding for children with special educational needs in Kent. It follows an announcement from the government last week that £4 billion will be invested to make mainstream schools more inclusive. Well, here's independent Rosie Duffield and the response from Schools Minister Georgia Gould.
I recently hosted a constituency send round table with education leaders and officials from the department. Teachers stressed yet again that years of underfunding and diminished support services have left schools on their knees, often unable to meet the needs of the most vulnerable children. Unfortunately, the government's funding announcement in their white paper is just a drop in the ocean compared to what's needed to radically improve SEND services in East Kent. So can the Minister tell me what other steps she'll take to deliver urgently needed improvements in SEND provision in my constituency, as the funding only looks likely to equate to a few thousand extra pounds per school?
Minister.
Mr Speaker, my honourable friend will know that we have recently announced support to local authorities like Kent for 90% of their deficits. We're building three new special schools in Kent. We are putting in place £3.7 billion in capital investment, and the allocation for Kent will be coming on board shortly. And we've announced £4 billion of extra investment to wrap around schools, from speech and language therapists to money directly into school budgets.
The government say they also aim to wipe 90% of SEND debt from local authorities.
Kent Online reports.
Disruptions expected to continue in Strood following a gas leak. Part of Station Road was closed for 3 weeks in February for planned work. Now another section has been shut for emergency repairs. Residents say it's affecting journeys in the town along Frinsbury Road and as far as the Four Elms Hill Junction. Medway Council and SGN have been contacted. There are plans to build more than 200 council homes on land near Ashford Town Centre. Bosses want to develop the former Civic Centre in Tannery Lane and the Kent Wool Growers plot. It's part of a major regeneration scheme which also involves installing solar canopies over the Stour Centre car park. A consultation's running for the next 2 weeks. Meantime, details of plans for 300 new homes in Maidstone have been revealed. Developers want to build the new estate on land north of Staplehurst near the railway station. Plans also include parking parking and associated infrastructure. And a Kent MP is calling on the government to consider more house building in London and other cities rather than green land in her constituency. Faversham and Mid-Kent's Helen Waitley is concerned about the number of developments in the area, which will add up to around 20,000 homes. The Conservative says it's not right that housing numbers in the capital have been reduced and has started a petition. Well, we'd like to know what you think about house building where you live. Are too many homes planned for the area? You can get in touch with your comments by emailing news@thekmgroup.co.uk. You can also comment on any of our stories on the website or via our socials.
Kent Online News.
A Kent Football Club say they've been left in limbo after developers dropped plans for two 3G pitches as part of proposals for a new housing estate. Larkfield and New Hythe Football Club have been working with OB Estates to deliver a community sports hub at the site of the former Oast Park golf course. However, a revised application includes 320 houses and a grass pitch only. John Michel is chairman of Larkfield and New Hythe Football Club, and he's been speaking to reporter Finn McDermott from our colleagues at KMTV.
At the moment, there's already no spare capacity in the local area for all-weather pitches. We've got 30 teams, most of them are youth teams, 8 girls teams, and as a club, we've got nowhere to train at all. And obviously at the minute as well, the weather's really bad, lots of games are being called off on grass pitches. And so we really did need that as a community club. We really do need a 3G facility. This was impacted even more, so 18 months ago, we used to use the K Sports facility that was sold off to London City Lionesses. So that also then got taken away as a facility that the community would use. So this is as a scheme was fantastic to deal with all of those problems we've currently got. And now it's gone. We were hoping it was going to be done ready for like this year. Now we've got to start afresh, looking at a plan B, which is how do we get a 3G put onto our own land? Bearing in mind, our own land was going to pay for the 3G originally, and now we're not selling it. So we need to help from Tom Jamorlin now. How do they help us get funding to put it on here so we can provide those community facilities?
Absolutely. And with you pushing for promotion currently, is that kind of an added extra sort of stress to the club at the minute?
Oh, definitely. You know, we're trying to really progress the club. We've done really well the last few years in promotions, and we want to get promoted again this year into the Isthmian South East. And you need to have a 3G in order, so you've got control of your own training, you've got development of all the youth coming through, they've got somewhere to train, you've got a community club because you're all training in the same place. Now, all of these things are the bedrock of what you need if you're going to progress as a whole as a club.
OB Estate say they're now consulting on the fresh plans.
Kent Online reports.
A Kent councillor has criticised the Church of England for failing to make changes regarding its views on same-sex marriages. Dan McDonald, who represents Gillingham South, has spoken out after senior leaders decided not to lift a ban on clergy entering same-sex civil marriages. The Labour rep says, as a gay man, he's tired of promises of inclusion which never materialise. People in Tunbridge Wells will be able to take part in a trial aimed at making voting in May's local elections easier. Residents will be able to cast their vote in person ahead of the election, including on the weekend. Bosses in the borough say the pilot scheme will see 3 hubs set up in key locations, and they'll be as secure as regular polling stations. A Herne Bay man is taking on an epic challenge to run from his local pub to the Eiffel Tower, all in support of a suicide awareness charity. Finn Dale will start the 212-mile journey from the Hampton Inn on March the 31st and plans to arrive at the famous landmark 2 weeks later. The 22-year-old is doing it for the Campaign Against Living Miserably, also known as CALM, in memory of his grandfather who took his own life. And arcade games have been installed at a Kent hospital to help ease anxiety for children preparing for surgery. Sensory tools will also be available for young in the pre-assessment unit at Medway Maritime. It follows feedback from families about a need for more calming activities, particularly for older children.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and Punjab United have found out who they'll face in the semi-finals of the FA Vase. They made it through after beating Downton FC 1-0 on Saturday. The Gravesend Bay side will take on Cockfosters. The first leg is away from home on March the 28th. And there's action in the quarter-finals of the Kent Senior Cup tonight. Gillingham take on Tunbridge Angels at the Longmead Stadium. Whoever wins will face Chatham Town next. Kickoff is at 7:45. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.